Look at here, mama, can't get along. Honey, I really tried to treat you right. Now, when I come in from work, darling, and give you my check, you want to raise sand, fuss, and fight. Get a chance to stay out all night. You left last night at 8, says you're going to the show. Come sliding home at 4. Then you come sliding in this morning soon, just about at 4. Then you're drunk, got all my money too. Come here, girl, let me tell you what I'm gonna do to you. I'm gonna cut your head 4 different ways, baby, long, short, deep, and wide. When I get through spreading the rhythm with this rusty black-handled razor, you're gonna be mapped out for an Ameland ride. I'm gonna cut A, B, C, D in the top of your head. That'll be treating you nice, sugar, and you ain't gonna be dead. Cut E, F, G right across your face. H, I, J, K, that's where running mountain take place. Cut L, M, N, both of your arm, sell your drink and pedal sugar your whole life long. I'm gonna cut O, P, Q. That'll be trouble too, cause I'm gonna grab your mama and turn you every way but loose. Cut R, S, T, the yeah you cry. That'll be the last time tears will run from both of your eyes. I'm gonna cut U, V, W under the bottom of your feet. Last time you walk up and down 25th Street. I'm gonna mark you across the bosom with X, Y, Z. Want to get through with these alphabets, you quit your messing with me.
What a happy ending.
Indeed.
To such a brutal song. It's the Brian and Vinny Show, everybody. It's Tuesday night, April 27th, 2010. Figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. And Vincent.
Oh, yes? Is there some news?
Yes. You realize that Impact did 8.5.
That's low.
There are threads everywhere on the board.
When I walked in the door, I actually expected you to be holding a camera. You haven't even mentioned anything until we started. What's that?
Why, this is my iPhone with video capability.
Oh, really?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that convenient?
Vinny, you know you're going to have to pony up here.
I am a man of my word. I will say, I feel bad doing this because when I first made this promise to, as if anyone here doesn't know what I'm talking about, I promised to do a little dance if Impact ever did a 0.5. And I said that because I figured if they did an 0.5, I would be happy. But now the shows have gotten better and the ratings go down, so I don't actually feel like celebrating. I feel bad for Impact.
Well, maybe you can do some sort of sad lurching dance. Which I figured it was going to be anyway.
Well,
but
they may turn out that way, whatever we want.
I'll make you a deal, Vinny. Mm-hmm. I'll make you do the dance at the end of the show.
That's probably for the best.
I'm
going to be blown up at the end anyway.
I'm going to build this up, and then when it's time, I got my phone right here.
Yeah, I made it do a sound effect there.
Sounded like a gun clicking, for example. Let me just do that one more time. That's right. I'm going to open this little fucker up right here, and we're going to film you doing a wacky dance. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Get some music on, somehow.
We don't need music.
I disagree.
Well, I don't have any music here. There's nothing I could use, so.
I have a speaker on my laptop.
So you're going to do a dance with the headphones on?
My laptop has speakers.
I see.
It's all very right. Low quality.
If you play Wild and Young, though, I'm going to start throwing shit at you. That's not the song you're going to play.
Never crossed my mind.
That is not the song you're going to play.
I'll find something on here.
I have cans. I have bottles, including one very hard plastic bottle that I will be lobbing at you if you play that fucking song for your dance. Will not be allowed. So anyway, I'll give you some time to think about that, to stew it over a little bit, and then I'll...
I thought about this. I should go back and reread Impact reports from like this time last year. That'll get me good and angry. Then I'll be happy about their 0.5.
Well, I can go back and find one if you'd like.
Maybe we should try.
I could find the Christmas tree edition, the barbed wire Christmas tree.
That's, I think, the most famous bad Impact episode.
I don't even know why we're waiting till the end, because it's a taped show, and the moment this show goes up and there's a link to you dancing, it's the first thing everybody's going to click.
That's true.
But it'll build up towards it. Everybody, if you're listening to this right now, don't click the link until the end of the show.
That would be cheating.
Yeah, let's not cheat here. You better not be typing WILD into that Google right there.
How dare you?
You just don't do it. And don't play any songs yet. Come on.
Have my mute on.
All right. Let's get going here. We got some songs. And I'd like to make a statement right here. I'm going to prepare for the angry email tomorrow, but I do not care. Some of you on the board may know Niall. Young Niall sent me a song, as you're all well aware, and I attempted to play it. I attempted three times, and all of the songs he sent me were blank.
I remember this.
Told him to send me the songs again. I'm just going to say this here for everybody listening. If you send in a song, it's not first come, first serve. You send in a song, they all go into my email bin. I search for the word song, and I randomly choose a page, and I randomly play some songs. Sometimes the newest ones get played first, that's true. But in general, this is a random process. So anyway, I didn't immediately drop everything and play Niall's songs when he sent me the ones that supposedly work. And he sent me very angry emails. I mean, very angry emails. I didn't even talk about the first email he sent me where he called me a very mean racist name.
Really?
Yeah. And he talked about what poor customer service I had.
By the way, anytime you want anyone to do a favor for you, racial slurs don't work.
Yeah.
He
got mad at me for not playing it the second time and wrote me this nasty email about what poor customer service I had. How dare I not play his song? He was personally offended. And I responded to him, "Did you think that I would not be personally offended when you called me an angry racial name?" And he said, "Well, I apologized." So therefore, everything is supposed to be great, and I'm now just going to play your songs.
Of course.
Niall, if I happen to run across your song today, I'm going to play it. But chances are I'm not going to. Just want to throw that out there right now. Don't think you can sit here and be mean to me and then ask me for a favor. Happens every now and then with folks on the board. Some of the 25 that troll me constantly end up asking me, "Hey, can we please get this?" And you know what I do here at home? I laugh. I laugh. And I often do the opposite. So don't act like an asshole and then expect me to answer to your beck and call. And then you accuse me afterwards of having poor customer service. My favorite line of all time. Let me play a song, which is not Niall's song, by the way, because he got me upset. I'm going to play this song, and then we'll get going on the pay-per-view, which happened to take place this past Sunday night. Here we go. Cotrera wrote this.
Should dance to that.
You know, when he did that, I knew that's what it would be, and it was still funny.
Anytime, anything that leads to the image of a chorus of me's singing, one note.
That's a wrestling lesson right there, everybody. When I saw that the song was called Star Wars Open Vinny V Version, I knew exactly what it was going to be. I still laughed and loved it.
Yes.
If it would have been something different, a swerve, I would have been pissed off. All right, let's keep going on the pay-per-view here. Vinny, I will let you begin since I already reviewed it, but I'm sure you've got thoughts, which hopefully will not last 55 minutes. We have three shows to review here.
Very doubtful, actually. We started the pay-per-view in the middle, so I'll skip the middle portion of my notes. Don't ask us a long question. Hunter came out only...
How about I read the matches and then you recap them so we do it in order?
All right.
Let's not screw everybody up here by starting in the middle. It opened with the attack on Hunter by Sheamus.
Hunter didn't come out. They were brawling backstage. They threw each other into things, and then Sheamus hit him in the neck with a pipe. They were very concerned. Everyone was very worried about Hunter's welfare. They come back to the announce desk, where we got to see the joy of Michael Cole and Matt Stryker acting.
Yeah.
That is not joyful, actually.
They're not very good at it.
So Show Miz came out. Miz reminded us of Bret Hart's promise that he would declare Show Miz to be the greatest tag team of all time. He said Teddy Long had his hands full with Sheamus and Hunter, which is odd since they are Raw guys. And he was running his mouth for a long time. Teddy Long came out, said he had a team for them. Miz kept mouthing off, so Teddy kept adding teams to the match. It was never exactly clear what was going on, if it was going to be a multi-team match or a gauntlet or whatever. But it turned out to be a gauntlet match. And what a gauntlet match! We had Show Miz versus Truth and Morrison, the team I never want to see again. One of the announcers said that Truth and Morrison gave Show Miz a run for their money at WrestleMania. This was a lie. They were beaten soundly and quickly. Doing this match, and then Morrison went for like a triangle choke on the Big Show, and he was in the ropes, and so he got disqualified.
Yeah.
What a shitty finish.
Horrible.
And relevant to nothing, but I have to ask, when was the last time Miz defended the U.S. title?
Been a long time.
Has been a long time. So they were team number one.
I like that Morrison beat the world champion in a non-title match and then got DQ'd for a triangle choke in the ropes 2 days later.
I don't know what the
stupid.
Hell. Stupid. I don't understand. So team number two was MVP and Mark Henry. Now the champions were tired and caught off guard, and they still won quickly. Sucks to be Mark Henry and MVP.
Yeah.
They're geeks. So team number three was, of course, the Hart Dynasty. They came out. They won in 15 seconds. The place went crazy. So I guess in the long run, this worked. The process could have been better, but the end result was positive. People loved watching the Hart Dynasty beat up Show Miz, and it led to a tag title match on Raw. So a waste of time, but I've seen bigger waste of time. We had Sheamus telling Todd Grissom that Hunter should admit he was too much of a coward to face him, and if he couldn't make it to the ring later, he was going to declare himself the winner by forfeit. CM Punk versus Rey Mysterio with Punk's hair on the line. Even Jerry Lawler noted how disgusting CM Punk's chest hair is.
He's disgusting.
It is now something the announcers can no longer ignore.
And keep in mind, this is a man whose chest was hairy.
Matt Stryker did point out the hypocrisy of this subject.
Well, there are men that have hairy chests, and then there's CM Punk. He's so disgusting that hairy-chested men
look down on him.
Turned off.
Sure.
Maybe that was the wrong term right there.
No, it works.
Turned off?
Yes.
No, it doesn't.
Anyway. So
if he shaved, your genitalia would become engorged with blood. Is that what you're saying, Vinny? I was trying to be polite about it.
Not mine, Jerry's.
I see. Yes. All right. Well, in that case.
Yeah. So we had Punk and Ray. They had a very good match. They were doing all kinds of lucha-rific high spots, stuff with a fairly high degree of difficulty, and they fucked up nothing. So that was good.
Disgusting thing I just said, by the way.
It was. I'm trying to move on, but as usual...
Get stuck on it?
As usual, you are stuck on those engorged genitals.
Okay, we'll move on.
All right. So, Serena and...
How dare you, by the way.
Your reaction time is something else, let me say.
I'm getting old.
So, Luke and Serena were great cheerleaders at ringside. And they eventually cheated too much and got ejected. And Punk, everyone thought it was doom for CM Punk. But then a mystery man ran in. And Punk was going for the GTS. And Ray hit a Rana. And Punk went on the ropes. At which point, Craig and Bill jumped off the couch. So, Clearly the match was working. And then a mystery man ran in. Laid out Ray. And Punk went with him to go to sleep. And this was described by the announcers as an assault by a stranger.
Yeah.
When your mother says don't talk to strangers, this is why.
Yeah.
They will attack you and you will lose. So that's what happened. This was a tremendous match.
I liked it. I gave it 3.5 stars.
I went 4.
It could have been 3.75. I may have underrated this particular match.
I thought this was really good.
It was good, everyone.
What was not good was JTG versus Shad. They had a bad version of every strap match you ever saw, and JTG won.
1 star.
I don't know. That's exactly what I did, and I have no desire to speak more of it. We had Randy Orton versus Jack Swagger. What the hell happened here?
They had a rather boring match.
It was
Randy Orton sucks as a babyface.
It was pretty plain. Swagger was acting scared for a while, which is always, it's always comical when the 6'6", 280-pound man runs from a guy several inches and several dozens of pounds smaller. But that's what happened here. He did some amateur stuff. Orton fought back with some very nasty, hardcore weapon shots. Just brutally violent trash can shots to the head. At least it was a trash can and not a chair. I haven't heard anything about Swagger, so I assume he's okay.
And I just watched Randy Orton, and I think in his brain he's thinking, I don't want to be a babyface, and I don't want to wrestle you. That's like the worst combination possible for a match like this.
That is...
And I don't like you.
Maybe accurate.
And I don't think you should be the champion right now.
Yes.
That's what he is thinking throughout this entire match.
Yeah.
Somehow they still got a 3-star match out of this. And yep. It's astounding.
Well, a healthy Eddie clean finish. Orton had him set up for the punt of death and then decided to give him an RKO on a chair instead. Only Swagger dropped him, cut him off, dropped him on the chair, and then hit the Dr. Bomb for the win.
Yeah, but even this was stupid because it was a clean pin, but he hit him with a move and Randy just laid there and got pinned. It was just, there was something about it that was like, you know, Randy was supposed to get pinned, so he laid there. I don't know.
So you compare it to that one time, I think it was Bagwell and Luger, he had to do a job, and so they laid in the ring at Nitro for like 5 minutes.
It wasn't quite that bad.
But the same concept.
It was not quite that bad, yes. Okay. It was, he was going through the motions at the finish, and then laid down like he was supposed to, and then gave the guy his move outside the ring.
Yeah. And then, yes, and as noted...
in hindsight, I don't know why I gave this 3 stars. I'd have to watch it again, but...
Because it was...
The more I think about it, the more angry I get at how bad it was.
There was some... It was not bad. There was some stupidness involved. And yes, they for all... Jack Swagger finally got to win a match on pay-per-view clean against a top guy, and then he immediately ate an RKO on the floor outside afterwards. They can't just put him over. So, my notes say... Beth, that's not right. Is the women's match next?
Triple H and Sheamus, dude.
What the fuck? The word Beth appears in the middle of my notes for no reason. Sheamus came out, basically declared himself the winner by forfeit, demanded that he be announced as such. Only Hunter came out instead. He was, first of all, we just went from an extreme rules match to a street fight. Second of all, Hunter came out. He was selling alleged nerve damage to his neck and arm. His left arm was hanging limp, and he still ran wild on Sheamus. That's classic.
Then I was annoyed by that.
I was annoyed by that, and even more annoyed when he finally started selling when? When he went for his own move. It's not like Sheamus kicked him in the arm. No. Hunter went for the pedigree and then suddenly remembered, oh yeah, my arm hurts. So that hurt the match. This one, more than Orton and Swagger, was boring in the middle. Sheamus did some chin locks and stuff. They got some weapons.
This was not more boring than the Orton match.
By the end, no. The middle part was.
I don't even know if I can say that.
Yeah.
I was so ungodly bored by Orton pretending to try to not be a babyface or whatever he was doing in there.
So Hunter grabbed a stick and just beat the fuck out of Sheamus. And Sheamus, to his credit, sold Lee's like a mother. And it was, if you're going to get hit with a stick, make the most out of it, I guess. So Hunter was walloping him, and then Sheamus hit a backdrop on the ramp and hit a bunch of kicks. The last one looked like it hit him right in the face. And then he just pinned him. And I love this finish. I'm just going to kick you until you die.
That's essentially what happened. I hated this match early because Hunter was pissing me off. You got nerve damage and you got a bad arm and you're beating the crap out of this guy. Why is Sheamus selling for a one-armed man? Just pissed me off. But as the match started to get going, by the end, I was like, Hunter did the right thing here. It took him a while and he was a cockhead early, but at least by the end, he took a bunch of kicks from the guy, he laid down for him, and then the guy beat the shit out of him even further after the match. Hunter did the right thing in the end. Didn't do the right thing at the beginning.
As Matt Stryker said, a legitimate pinfall.
How do you be in this business for so long and still do stuff like this? I mean, at 40-something years old, you're married to the boss's daughter, you've got all the money you'll ever need. I mean, you still can't lose in a fake wrestling match in 2010?
I don't know. I'm long past worrying about that.
It's he just ridiculous.
Doesn't.
It's just ridiculous. But he lost here, so way to go, buddy. Way to go.
Yeah. He had Beth Phoenix versus Michelle McCool in the good housekeeping match, whatever they called it. We were watching this with Craig's young son, who I believe is 4. And as the match started, the young man just said, girls. He was very unhappy about it. You gonna say something?
No, I was waiting for you.
Oh, okay. So they had a short, hardcore-y match. There was an irony...
I've been thinking of a joke to relate to that with you, but I couldn't come up with anything spur of the moment.
Mm.
It'd probably take me about 13 seconds. Go ahead.
So, yes, they had a short, hardcore-y match. They used an ironing board. They used brooms. Layla and Vicky were there.
So you and his son were in the same boat.
To a large degree, actually, yeah.
Okay, go on.
And it was a fine match, and the interference didn't work. Beth hit her move and won, so she's the new champion, yeehaw. I went 2 stars. It was what it was. You keep reaching for that knob. I think you need to speak.
Go on.
All right.
What is there to say about this? I feel like you back in the day.
Indeed. Well,
it was Michelle versus Beth.
Honestly, you feel like I do right now.
Actually, I gave it 2.5 stars. That was pretty good for this kind of match.
There was nothing wrong with it. We had a Chris Jericho promo. He was talking about his loss to Heath Slater on NXT. Said one loss did not change his legacy. He was still the best in the world at what he did, blah, blah, blah. We had Edge versus Jericho in a cage match. We watched the All Cage Match show a week ago on TNA. And for the second 2 weeks in a row, the cage match spectacle opened with floor brawling.
Yeah.
So I had some computer issues here. I did not take a lot of notes. It was good. They got a lot of time. The story was... Jericho first had a chance to walk out the cage and win, but he chose to go back in and end Edge's career, as he had threatened to do. And then when Edge had the match won, he too chose to go back in and torment Jericho, only he was much better at it. So he tortured Chris for a while, and it had been a really good match, and then it became sort of the same thing as, to a lesser degree, but it was the same thing as Brett versus Vince at Mania, where he beat up Chris Jericho and tortured him for so long that people started to feel a little sorry for him.
I don't know if it was that, just the fact that it went on for so long, and there was a spot where they were brawling at the top of the cage that went on for about 8 years, and absolutely nothing became of it.
Yes.
And after that, once, you know, they did all their moves, they did, there was a kick out of the spear, they did everything, every finisher they had, and then Edge starts yanking on his ankle. What? Why would anyone care? It made for a good story. I mean, on paper, I'm sure this was a great idea, but in execution, by the 20-minute mark or whatever, people did not care. They even chanted boring, so yep. That failed.
And the main event was John versus Dave.
And so the finish of that match, everybody, was he hit a spear on Chris Jericho and pinned him clean in the middle of the match, in the middle of the ring.
Well, there you go.
At the end of the match.
Then we had John versus Dave, last man standing. It was very good. There's a point where Dave got the heat. He hit Cena in the gut with what turned out to be a turnbuckle hookup deal. But the announcers first called it a wrench, and then it suddenly became very important to identify what this weapon was. They couldn't just say a metal object. They had to identify it as a turnbuckle post. Oh, so we got a bunch of crazy spots. We had an FU on a chair that... We had an FU on a chair. Cena went through a table and then into the post and then through a wall. And while they were brawling outside, they showed the toolbox that Big Dave had pulled the turnbuckle post out from. And assorted tools were laying on the ground, including duct tape. And I sat up and thought, hey!
No.
And I thought, tape him to the floor and win! So...
This finish sucks.
They kept fighting. There was a an FU through the announce table that had the crowd going batty. And then Cena went for the FU. Dave turned into a spine buster through a table. They stood up from everything. Power bombs, STFs, all that. And finally, John Cena had him down in the corner, taped his feet together behind the post. The tape went into business for itself and would not cooperate, and so Cena had to be stiff with the tape.
Tape was a better booker than whoever put this together.
And then, Dave could not stand because his feet were taped together, and so John Cena won.
Sucked.
This is my new favorite finish ever.
This finish sucked.
No. False.
Why? So let me get this straight. Mm-hmm. If there was a last man standing match at Tulalip, and it was me versus you, and I don't even know how this would work without tearing down the entire building, but I hung a rope from the rafters, I wrapped it around your waist, and I was somehow able to hoist you an inch off the mat, so you were no longer standing, you'd be fine with this finish, because it was creative. This is what we bitch at Vince Russo about. He lost a last man standing match because he was taped and could not get to his feet. Bullshit!
10 years ago, The Rock lost, an empty arena match, but there was
A forklift put shit on
his chest.
On him.
Yes.
Also dumb.
Because that was not his last man standing. I forgot about that until
Listen,
right now.
You know what? I wouldn't even have hated it this much if this were like the semi-main and they finished with a clean pin in the middle of the ring in the cage match. You had a extreme rules pay-per-view. The rules are all extreme. This is the most violent pay-per-view of the year. And the finish of the main event was a guy won a last man standing match because he taped a dude's feet together?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
He's smart.
How much did you give Craig for this pay-per-view?
I gave him 20, and surprisingly, he gave me 10 back.
So you paid him 10.
Yeah.
If you had to pay $44.95 for this pay-per-view, I just don't know. Think about all the people that paid almost $50 for this pay-per-view, and that was their finish. A guy get his feet taped together. Retarded.
Right.
This was lame.
If I was John Cena in this match,
and Jim Ross agrees with me,
that's what I would have done. Well, great.
And between you and Jim Ross, I'm taking his word for it.
How dare you?
How dare I? He knows more about wrestling than you.
That was sarcasm.
Okay,
he does. He knows a lot more about wrestling than I do.
That's right.
But I still liked it.
It was a good match until that retarded finish. I mean, if they would have just done the, I mean, I realize they were setting up a rematch and that sort of thing. Fine, do this finish on the undercard, Or, better yet, they should have done a different stip here, and then at the pay-per-view this month, they could have done Last Man Standing, and when Batista was killed going through the announcer's table, he could have not gotten up, and that would have been a great finish, and that would have been the end of Big Dave. This was cheap bullshit, is what this was here. All right. With that said, let's play a song here. And what do we got? I'm just going to type in songs, as I promised, and we'll see what... We'll see what comes up here. Oh, man. Let's see. I made two songs. Please play them. This better not be... This better not be dumb. It's awfully quiet. Got it cranked all the way up. Why is it so quiet?
I don't know.
Fail. Everybody, make sure that you have some decent volume on your songs. Otherwise, we are not going to play them here on this program. All right, what else do we got here? Let's see. You know what? Let's not play a song. Go to Raw. Oh, I got my drop board here. See what I got on the drop board. Let's play this one. APA.
Your volume is still up. That scared me.
From Podarink, the people who brought you Warriors.
I think that one failed a while back.
Fuckers!
Me!
Fuckers!
Me!
Fuckers!
Me!
Me!
Me! Me!
Me!
There's the little guys again.
Indeed.
All right, one more and then we'll do Raw.
Come on, baby.
Ass.
Come on, baby, like my
ass.
Try to set the
ass
on fire. Yeah. Come on, baby, like my
ass.
Come on, baby, like my
ass.
Like my
ass.
Like my
ass.
Like my
ass.
Oh, yeah. Lie it, lie it, lie it, lie it, lie it, lie it, yeah.
Who bastardized
what a
that song?
Shitty cover.
That was horrendous. My God, that was horrible. That was one of the worst covers of all time.
It was no good.
That was worse than elevator music. All right, let's go to Raw.
Raw opened with the show Miz coming out. Miz said they were forced to wrestle three times the night before, and so the Hart Dynasty had been handed a title shot, which is true. Said the Harts had been handed everything in their life due to their family. Said the Harts were losers, and Brett was the biggest loser of them all. Demanded that Brett come out and declare that they were the best tag team of all time. So Brett came out, said he was a man of his word. He declared Show Miz the greatest tag team in history. Then he declared the Mountie the greatest Intercontinental Champion in history, and David Arquette the greatest World Champion in history. Which is why I love this stip, because it was just words. And he said, talk is cheap, action speaks louder, or something like that, and the match started. It was the Hart Dynasty versus Show Miz. We had a very, very fun match. Tyson Kidd takes great bumps and is a fantastic face in peril. Breaking news. I know. Tyson Kidd's good at something. We had Stryker and Lawler were Stryker was there because it was the draft show. And he and Lawler were taking shots at each other on commentary. Had to work with each other twice in 24 hours. I'm sure Lawler hated that. And Michael Cole said the strap was coming down, which is the most wrestling knowledgeable thing he's ever said. So Tyson made a hot tag to Harry. He made the big comeback, during which Miz attempted a backslide. That amused me. And Miz went for a pin, put his feet on the ropes. Brett knocked the feet off the ropes. Big Show went after him, but Tyson Kidd cut him off. And then the Harts hit the springboard heart attack. And Tyson teased the sharpshooter for a very long time and then hooked the Miz in it and won. So the Hart Dynasty was the new champs. Very good match. The crowd went crazy. We were off to a good start.
A lot of good matches on this show, a lot of long matches, which was a big plus, and this was 3.5 stars, everyone, for those keeping track.
And we now have, the last year, the tag team titles, both of them, have been worthless for a long time, and over the past year, thanks to Jericho and Show and a little bit of DX, they meant something for a long time, and I guess now we're going to see if they're still important. If the Hart Dynasty are still treated like main eventers in 2 weeks, then we'll know, but we shall see. So afterwards, during the commercial, Show knocked Miz the fuck out. He punched him in the face. It looked very unfortunate.
He killed him.
Bad times for the Miz. We had Josh Matthews interviewing Jack Swagger. Said he dominated Randy Orton and cut the Viper's head off. Claimed to be the most educated champion ever with a 4.0 GPA in finance. Edge interrupted and, to make a long story short, said that he was next in line for a title shot because he beat Jericho. So yeehaw. We had Michelle McCool and Layla versus Maryse and Eve. Michelle McCool on two shows a week is too much for me. Three shows, kind of the pay-per-view. Crowd chanted, "We want Mickey." They did not get her, and by the end of the night, no one cared. We had the story here.
I didn't even hear the chant, so it wasn't much of a chant.
It was there.
It was not much.
Yeah. But
so way to go on your riot, you guys.
Yes. We had Eve and Maryse were the Raw team. They did not get along because they hate each other. So it went way too long to tell this easy little story. And eventually Maryse tagged in. They bickered for a bit, and then Maryse turned around and McCool kicked her in the face and won. It was bad. And the first draft pick went to SmackDown because of the win, and they got Kelly.
Kelly, everyone.
The draft was on fire. Hit the ground running.
Kelly was, like, number one on Twitter last night at 6 p.m. Mm. No one knows why.
So.
But she was.
She was very happy to be going to SmackDown. Everyone was happy to be drafted this year.
Well, they had to pretend to be happy.
Sure.
Unless your gimmick was to be sad.
Well, maybe somebody was. But usually there's someone who's upset they're drafted.
Well, I think everybody knew they were being drafted this year was the difference.
I mean...
Last few years they fooled. They didn't tell any of the guys.
I realize that. I'm just saying even in character. Usually there's a storyline they want about someone being unhappy they've been drafted. Hmm. I don't think they did this year. They did have Evan Bourne versus CM Punk. The announcers were talking about the mystery man from the pay-per-view. And some of them, I think it was Lawler, decided that there were at least two men interfering. So nobody has smartened Lawler up to the storyline yet. Crowd, as much as they wanted Mickey James, they loved
CM Punk.
Actually,
the night before they had the deal where Lawler said, or no, what was it? Maybe it was tonight. Are you sure? Because I could have sworn it was Cole. It was Cole that said it was the same guy from last night. And the teacher said, well, we didn't see his face, so maybe it was... How do we know it was the same guy?
How many guys run around in hoods?
That was the teacher. That wasn't Lawler.
But that was on the show, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So no one knows what's going on. That's the end of this story. That being said, the match ended when the mystery man ran out. Evan Bourne was going for the shooting star press. Mystery man threw him off the top. Punk hit the go to sleep and won. So SmackDown was up 2-0. They got a draft pick. It was The Big Show, who has been a tag team champion for most of the past year, and I was not aware he was not on SmackDown already.
Yeah.
It was news to me. So Teddy congratulated Big Show backstage, welcomed him to SmackDown. Show teased hating him, and then was all chummy.
Based on these SmackDown spoilers, that right there was his babyface turn. He just decided to start being nice.
Great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We had a Sheamus promo.
May as well do a spoiler since I don't think there was a match setting this up. But the number one contender for Jack Swagger is now
Big
the Big
Show. Yeah.
What a god-awful match.
I have no desire to see that.
What a god-awful match.
Yeah.
And don't even say that maybe Jack Swagger will do what Brock Lesnar did to the Big Show. Because he won't! Go on.
We had a Sheamus promo. He said Hunter would never wrestle again. And with Hunter out of the way, he wanted the WWE title. Orton interrupted. Said nobody hated Hunter more than him. Said he had done horrible things to Hunter and horrible things to his family. But when it was time to fight, we fought face to face.
Which made for a horrible match, by the way, at WrestleMania.
I promise you that somewhere in the lead up to that match, Randy Orton jumped Hunter from behind. It has to have happened.
No, they locked up.
At the match.
Yeah.
But he said they fought face to face.
Well, I think he was trying to say that he didn't jump him with a pipe before the match. He got in there and they battled.
I see.
Which is bullshit, by the way. That's not what they should have done.
Yeah.
All that means is Randy Orton has no concept of psychology in wrestling.
Yeah. Because Sheamus and Hunter was better than Hunter and Orton at Mania. So anyway, he said Sheamus didn't deserve a title shot. Sheamus said Orton had a title match the night before and lost. That is true. They were threatening each other for a while, and then John Cena came out. He pointed out there was no guest host for the show. And he did some comedy and came off like the biggest geek in the world.
Shocker.
I hated him after this. I hated him. Think about that. There are people who have said that TNA is better than WWE, and you ask them why, and they give you a bunch of reasons, and you point out the flaws in these reasons, and finally they will say, well, at least there's no John Cena. And that's why I like TNA better. And at this point in the show, I agreed with them. TNA was better, something for a lack of Cena. So he announced that he had been told that he could choose a top contender, so he booked Sheamus versus Orton. And all I could think was, go, Sheamus, go. Do not let Orton win and get another title shot, please. So Sheamus and Orton teased laying each other out, but in the end, Sheamus just bailed, nothing happened.
The point of this segment was that Sheamus was right and Orton was wrong, and I don't know why this was turned into a match. Sheamus did, in fact, end Triple H's career, at least in storyline for the time being,
mm-hmm.
and Randy Orton lost to Jack Swagger.
Yes.
Why the fuck would Randy Orton get another title shot?
Don't know.
Stupid.
Yeah. Speaking of stupid, we had the Raw versus SmackDown Battle Royal. Team SmackDown was Rey, Kane, Truth, Drew McIntyre, and Shad Gaspard versus MVP, Mark Henry, Yoshitatsu, Santino Marella, and Ted DiBiase. What a bunch of fucking geeks on that Raw team. Just losers, losers everywhere.
Rey looked like such a doofus in the ring with these guys. There's nothing worse than being in a geek battle royal. How many times have we mentioned this?
I see, yes.
There's nothing in this world worse than being in a geek battle royal. Vinny, you'd know that better than anyone. I've just in one.
I was just in one, and there was a point where I was laying in the corner, looking around, thinking, God, what do I do now?
See, there was a time when the battle royal was the big match. All the stars were in the Battle Royal. It's kind of that way now with it is that way, obviously, with the Royal Rumble. But anything that's not the Royal Rumble, when's the last Battle Royal that's been nothing but all the stars vying for something important? Never. It's always the geeks.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put stars in there, the stars look like geeks. Rey Mysterio in a geek Battle Royal on Raw, God, he looked stupid. At least it came down to him and Ted DiBiase, and they had some good stuff there before.
Once it came down to Ray and Ted, it was every horrible battle royal you ever saw, and a long one. It actually went through a commercial break. Santino in particular, very funny guy, great on promos. When he actually has to wrestle, miserable.
He's very bad.
He's so bad. Remember when he came in and they pushed him as a serious babyface?
Mm-hmm.
Fools. So anyway, it came down to Ray versus Ted, with Santino technically in the match laying in the corner. And Ray versus Ted was very fun for the 90 seconds or so it lasted. And DiBiase knocked him off the apron. He won for the Raw team. He laid out Santino for good measure, I guess. And so Raw got 3 picks. The first was John Morrison. And I thought, hooray, they broke up that tag team. The second was Truth. And I said, God damn it, loudly.
What'd you expect to happen here?
Anything else. So the third pick was also Edge. So at this point, I believe there were about 200 top babyfaces on Raw, and Sheamus was the only heel available. We had a Chris Jericho promo. Said he was the victim of an attack by Edge, which is true. He said Edge had tried to hurt him. He didn't deserve it. He demanded that Edge be fined and suspended. Said he was off his game in the match because he was distracted by his loss to an NXT rookie. He vowed to never lose to an unaccomplished nobody again. Said Heath Slater owed him an apology. So Slater came out and said he was sorry Jericho couldn't beat him, sorry Jericho couldn't beat Edge, and sorry Jericho couldn't beat Christian, which was our next match, Jericho versus Christian. They had also had a lot of time. They also had a good match. Jericho hooked a Boston Crab, and Mike Stryker claimed that if you're in the Boston Crab and you lift your chest off the mat, it alleviates the pressure. False.
I think it might.
Honestly, I've not been in one for a long time, but it seems like it would just put more pressure on your back.
No, not if you're on your elbows. I think if you're all the way flat, you can really yank a guy. If you're flat on your stomach, you could conceivably turn the guy all the way back and put his feet on the ground and break him in two.
And if you do that, and then he pushes up, it's just going to do that to an even sharper degree.
Well, no, I don't know if he said if you push up, it alleviates the pressure. I just know that Christian was like in push-up position, and then he was on his elbows. And the teacher said, he can't let his chest touch.
Yes.
And then he did. And the teacher was like, oh my God, the intense pain.
Yes.
The teacher's making bullshit up. But,
yes, that is my point. So anywho, Christian came off the top rope, jumped into a code breaker for the loss, and Jericho laid out Slater for good measure because NXT guys must be laid out at all opportunities.
3 stars.
It was very good. So SmackDown got another draft pick. It was Kofi Kingston, who Lord knows needs a fresh start, and he ran down to the ring and laid out Jericho, and to which I thought, okay, instant feud. He's going to feud with the top guy. It didn't work with Orton. Maybe it'll work with Jericho. We'll get to that later. We had...
What will we get to later, just out of curiosity?
Jericho got drafted to Raw. So...
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Because they have a match on SmackDown.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
I guess he has one line. I guess they did something
because
with
Jericho,
that.
You see, is on SmackDown this week.
I don't know.
Welcome to the draft, everybody! Yes. That's why nobody gives a fuck.
We had Jack Swagger versus John Morrison. Again, it was not as good as the match they had on SmackDown. Swagger won with the Dr. Bomb.
Where's the guy that emailed me last year all upset because he said the draft really meant something?
I don't know. I don't keep my emails from lunatics.
Yeah, he got really mad at me afterwards when I told him it really didn't mean anything, and he trolled me on the board for months afterwards.
So, Swagger went with the Dr. Bomb. This caused Stryker to say, "Smack Dizown, brother."
I'd have punched him right there. I really would have just... I would have choked the shit out of him.
It was very right annoying. There. So, SmackDown got another draft pick. It was Christian. So, not counting the previous hour or so of Raw, Christian has now been back in the company for like a year and a half, and he and Edge have never been in the same show. They were keeping them very far apart.
Both Swagger matches were better than the one with Orton. Versus Morrison Friday.
Swagger versus Morrison Monday. This was better than the Orton match on the pay-per-view.
Yeah!
Yeah. So we had Carlito and Ted DiBiase have a meeting backstage. It was apparently a joint in progress with Ted making some sort of offer to Carlito. Carlito turned him down, saying he would rather sit on the sidelines, which is, all right. It's clear you are fine with sitting on the sidelines. That's abundantly clear. So Ted made the offer to Truth. He was looking for someone to watch his back and also carry his bags, which caused Truth to say, "You want yourself a Virgil. Your daddy had a Virgil, and you want a Virgil." I laughed. So... Ted said, "On the other hand, I will also pay you a lot of money." So Truth seemed interested. After some time to think about it, slapped him hard across the face, said, "Truth, don't play that." Like this is Living Color from 1992. And the announcers all laughed.
Apparently today is the 1,000th day as world champion that John Cena is celebrating.
Huh.
How about that?
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. All right, let's go to the next match. Go on.
Dolph Ziggler versus Hornswoggle. Seriously. This was the match for the last draft pick. And also, seriously, Hornswoggle won.
Yeah, count out.
They played Chase for a while. I thought they were actually going to have Dolph pretend he couldn't keep up with the midget, which would have been extremely high comedy, but they did not. He caught him, but he threw him in the ring, and the midget had like a helmet on and some shoes, and he threw all this stuff at Dolph, and Dolph, I guess, was confused or flustered, and he got counted out.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid. So then he got in and just beat the fuck out of the little guy.
Got a great picture of two midgets on the front page right now, by the way. Although it is astounding that...
The very low dropkick?
Yeah. Kuihei here is giving the midget blue monkey a dropkick, and he only gets waist high.
Amazing.
Which, for those of you keeping track, is approximately 1 foot off the ground.
Maybe.
I don't even know how it's possible.
The midget blue monkey is a very, very short person.
Yeah.
Oh, so here was where Raw got the draft pick. So they drafted Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess my point about Kofi is null and void, but it's good for Raw because, like I say, the only babyface they had were Sheamus and I guess Dave, but he's leaving soon.
You know the midget blue monkey is like in his late 40s, early 50s?
It's astounding.
Yes.
Why is there not like a movie about that guy?
There may be someday. Who knows?
Oh.
All right, go on.
So Big Dave came out. He cut a very angry promo about how Orton and Sheamus were fighting for the top contendership after he lost via duct tape. He said the finish was a joke. He said, "I'm the man," loudly. He was ranting and raving for a while until Sheamus could take no more and interrupted. Said Dave and Orton were both losers. This brought Orton out. And they all bickered for a while about who deserved the shot more until Cena came out and said, "We'll just do a three-way." So they did. We had Batista versus Orton versus
Sheamus.
Actually,
the best thing about this by a country mile was when Orton said he was going to face Sheamus tonight, beat him, and then face Batista and beat him too, at which point Batista said, and I quote, "Ha! Ha ha!" That was awesome.
Big Dave.
He reared back, he grabbed his belly, and he howled.
Big Dave's pretty great sometimes.
Awesome!
I like his new catchphrase of shouting, "I'm the man!"
Dave Batista is literally my favorite wrestler on the earth right now.
Yes.
Especially the pay-per-view when he was fighting John Cena and a small child yelled, "I hate you, Dave!" And he goes, "I hate you!" awesome. What a great heel.
Yeah.
He's just mean.
He's been a babyface for 4 years or whatever, and now they finally realize what an awesome heel he is, and now he is leaving.
Sad.
But he's not leaving yet. He had this match. They wrestled for a long time. You noted in the newsletter, and I believe this is true, the first, I don't know, 50 minutes of this match, they were just killing time.
Yeah.
Just do some stuff. One guy take a break. None of it led to anything. And then the last 3 or 4 minutes, when they started all hitting finishers and teasing finishers and breaking up pins, it got really awesome for a while. And Orton hit the RKO on Sheamus. But before he could make the cover, Edge, of all people, ran down, speared Randy, and Dave covered him for the pin. So apparently they're going to do Edge versus Orton as a feud.
Edge just turned heel, apparently.
I guess.
Because Orton is a babyface, Vince. I realize this is completely fucked up.
Yes.
There was a moment where I was watching Orton beating up on Batista, and I watched them both, and I thought, who in the fuck is the babyface here? I could not for the life of me figure it out. Orton is the worst babyface ever. He's worse than me, and I'm a horrible babyface. He's horrendous. He just hates it. Turn the guy. Just turn the guy already. All right, let's play a song. Raw was, I liked the Raw show. It was long, but it didn't feel as long as some of these three-hour shows.
For 3 hours, it pretty much flew by.
Because they didn't have 8 million segments. They had long matches. They had a couple of segments. They did a draft, which, quite frankly, didn't mean jack shit. But it was still significantly better than, it was better than Impact this week. Impact was not horrendous, but it was certainly not last week's Impact. Yeah, let's play a song. Play, goddammit.
Sorry!
Your hands around my
ass!
Just let them
numbers up!
Play. We're hand in hand, chest to chest, and now we're
face to face!
Listen to Great Khali at the 36-second mark here. Here we go. Here we go. Remember when he was like a giant screaming monster?
Mm-hmm.
Now he's a dork that dances around like a fool. Like a clown.
Yeah.
Don't like it. All right, let's move on. And he doesn't cut promos as well as he used to.
No, he
does
not do the screaming Great Khali's promos anymore. And does not ask Jonathan Coachman for some competition.
Impact.
Hogan came out, talked a little bit. We talked about how important the TNA title was. Briefly mentioned the brand new top 10 ranking system set in all the fans. And then he began to get awesome. After touching on how important the title was at the opening of the promo, he said RVD and Jeff Hardy had him on the edge of his seat last week. Said Jeff Hardy and AJ, the two guys Rob beat, were both two of the greatest wrestlers anywhere, anytime. And Rob beat them. So he was the fucking man. This was tremendous. Just talking about how blown away he was by the quality of the competition here in TNA and Rob Van Dam, their champion. Great stuff. So he called out Rob. Rob came down. He had the belt. He had his music. Got the microphone and said, and I quote, "Thanks, Hulky." Called him Hulky several times in the segment. He said, you don't need to call him Mr. Monday Night anymore. You can just call him Mr. TNA. Said he came to TNA because Hulk and Dixie and Eric Bischoff said it would give him a fair opportunity just to be himself. Talked about weed and being a laid-back dude. He kicks ass.
Was Crumbly's threat on the board just the stupidest thing? What a mentalist he's become.
It was a dumb argument.
What an idiot.
Of all the things to argue about.
Listen.
That was dumb.
Listen, when we say this is a poor message to send to children about weed and pot smoking, don't bring up, well, would it be appalling if TNA did an angle involving jaywalking? Well, first off, that's a stupid example, because I don't want my kids watching shows about fucking jaywalking. Having them run across the street with cars coming? Yeah, jaywalking is bad. Second off, it doesn't matter whether you think it should be legal or not. That has abso-fucking nothing to do with the argument. The fact is, it's illegal. You cannot compare a tag team that drinks with a guy who smokes weed. You just can't. Unless you're a complete idiot. Go on.
So, it was not a great promo by Rob, but he did end by saying he was the toughest dude you'll ever see, and he vowed to be the greatest champ ever. So that was a good line to go out on. So AJ and Flair came out. They were angry, and right before they got in the ring, Rob, in his best line, just said, "You didn't like my promo." That made me laugh. So AJ tore into Rob, said nobody understood him, said, "You're just a hippie freak from Southern California, and nobody understands you, dude." Said Rob won the title because he, AJ, slipped on the top rope. He accused Rob of lubing the ropes. Said he would get his rematch when he wanted it. And then Flair yelled at Hogan for giving his Hall of Fame ring to Abyss. Said he had trusted others to get the job done and he was going to take care of business himself tonight. Then he said, "You make a mockery of Ric Flair, you die."
Die, he said.
Die.
Terroristic threat.
Sure. This was a fun segment, all in all.
It's weird. It's like, I think I like it more because in hindsight it was like the best thing on the show. But as it was taking place, it felt like it was going on too long.
It went for a long time.
Like at one point I actually had to check and see how long is this fucking segment right here. It just felt really, really long. But by the time the rest of the show was over, I was like, can we have this promo here again with these guys?
So we had a short, beautiful people promo. They were bitching about Madison defending her title in a three-way. They never mentioned who her opponents were.
They did at the very end, but you had to wait until the very end of this interview for her to mention who this three-way was with.
I didn't even catch it.
What is wrong with the people writing the show?
They don't know what they're doing.
I mentioned this last night on the Dave show, but they had an interview with Orlando Jordan where he didn't for a single moment identify himself.
Oh.
And when they went back to the announcers, they didn't identify him.
No.
Not a single time.
No.
Not a single time on this entire show were the words Orlando Jordan mentioned.
Nope.
How can you do that? Complete idiots.
Don't know what they're doing.
Complete idiots. Well, they know what they're doing now more than they did 2 weeks ago. This is much improved.
Yeah, so improved
but
we got
still
a 0.5.
It's still TNA. Well, it did get a 0.5.
So we had Angelina versus Tara versus Madison.
It does result in you being doing a dance, so
this is all a dance.
They do know something.
So you're suggesting it was their goal?
They have been successful
their
in some way.
Their goal was to get me to dance.
Yeah.
They want to sacrifice their own show to get me to dance.
Sure.
There are easier ways to do this.
To humiliate you, they
cheaper
got a 0.5.
Throw a few $1,000 my way. I would have done it for much cheaper than throwing your company down the toilet. So they had this match. There was a point where Tara hit a snap suplex on Madison and then rolled through and hooked a guillotine. And Madison was completely fucked. And Angelina was on the floor or something out of the picture. And I thought, this is the finish for sure. And then they just both stood up.
Yeah.
So the Taz was talking about getting the hooks in and how this would be the finish. And he was so confused, he just trailed off in mid-sentence. This was TNA in a nutshell. So Angelina didn't get in the
ring. Who is the agent for the girls now?
I don't know.
Can they get someone with a clue? Can you bring back Scott D'Amore or something?
So Angelina came back in. She made a fun comeback. And then Madison shoved them both together in such a manner as to somehow have Angelina catch her arm and tear his leg brace and tear it all to shreds. So that sucked. And fortunately, it was the finish. Unfortunately, they had to do a post-match brawl.
Yeah.
That always sucks. So Tara, of all people, was the one who was crying. And then they were fighting again. Injury aside, the brawl at the end was just total overkill.
Yeah.
This also went too long. We get it. You don't like each other. You both lost. You cost each other the match, sort of.
And now you can't wrestle each other.
Now you can't wrestle each other. So we had Shannon Moore versus Kazarian. My first thought was, again, and then I remember the last time they wrestled, it was really good, so I was fine with that.
This was not that good.
This was not as good as the last time. Kazarian still does not have his belt. I guess this must have been a taped show, but it still made me laugh. It's been, like, forever now. They had a crawler doing on the bottom of the screen that was doing, like, pay-per-view results and plugging house shows. And then it mentioned that Jarrett and Sting have been signed for Sacrifice. That's how they announced the match.
Yeah.
If you were looking away from the TV...
Which I wasn't, by the way, because I didn't see this.
Yes, if you're looking away from the TV and not watching the very bottom of it, you would not know that match was signed. So they were doing the deal.
Did they realize that small print is used in advertising so that you hope people don't see it?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. So there was a ref bump. Shannon went up top. And the camera then cut to Matt Morgan running down the ramp like the director knew it was going to happen. So the director was in on this plot to shoot to screw Shannon Moore. So Morgan ran down, knocked Shannon off the top. Kazarian hit the pile driver where he holds the guy over his back. And the reason the guys don't do this move very often is because Shannon Moore's head did not come within 6 inches of the mat. It looked bad. His mohawk did. But then Kazarian pinned him.
It either doesn't come within 6 minutes or you smash your head on the ground and almost die.
Or you smash your head on the ground and almost die. So the other solution is, hey, director, use a different camera angle. So Kazarian won, and then Samoa Joe came out and killed him. Mm-hmm. So the lesson is, don't have good matches like Shannon Moore and Frankie Kazarian, or you'll be buried by big men like Samoa Joe and Matt Morgan.
Remember when Dixie was talking about how awesome the X Division was?
No.
Well,
I believe you. I would say I don't remember it.
It was Destination X.
Oh yeah.
That's what we were talking about.
So important that it was great to have one pay-per-view a year. They could be in the main event, which was in the middle of the show.
Yeah, it tells you something right there. They get one pay-per-view a year to be in the main event, which wasn't the main event, I might add. But
yeah. We had an Abyss promo, man, talking about the ring, what it meant to him. Said it did not have magical powers, he knew that, but it meant that Hulk Hogan had believed in him.
You know, I hated this promo.
And that meant he believed in himself.
Because Abyss did a promo just basically saying, if I lose, oh well.
Yes.
I know what the ring means to me.
He said he might lose the ring, but he'll never lose what the ring has given him.
How stupid. Don't you get a promo and say, no, I die before I lost this ring.
In that case, why even fight? Just hand the damn thing over. Here.
Yeah, you know what it
Save
means
yourself
to
the
you.
Trouble.
Just throw it in the toilet while you're at it.
So stupid. We had Matt Morgan appealing to Jesse Neal about being his tag team partner tonight. Here is where I thought, why are Jesse Neal and Shannon Moore not a tag team? Well, I got my wish. So Morgan brought up the dead soldier. Y'all know how I feel about that. And then we had AJ and Sting versus Jeff Hardy and Jeff Jarrett. After the match began, we were told this was Falls Count Anywhere and anything goes. So they did crowd brawling for a long time. And then it broke down into a tag match. And then after they had broken down to a tag match, Jeff came in without a tag. Jeff Hardy came in without a tag and just stayed in running wild. And the ref just stood in the corner. So I had no idea what was going on.
It was a Falls Count Anywhere, Anything Goes tag team match where they just decided to follow the rules in the middle.
For a while. And then they stopped. And after Jeff ran... damn it. After Hardy ran wild and AJ for a while, Sting was so confused, like myself, he threw up his hands and went to the back.
Yeah,
I didn't blame
left.
Him. Just walked away. So now AJ was left 2-on-1 advantage baby faces. And Jeff Jarrett, rather than help his partner and win, went after Sting.
What an idiot.
So Hardy and AJ were fighting on the ramp, and Jarrett walked by them on camera. Just mm-hmm. walked on by, leaving his partner to his own fate. So they brawled on the rafters. The finish, I think the finish was a good idea on paper.
No, it wasn't.
The execution blew.
Vince, yes. You read this on the piece of paper, and it says, Jeff Jarrett pinned on stairs.
Not that part.
Okay,
that's not the part I'm referring to.
Because that's impossible.
That was not.
You could not even pin the midget blue monkey on the stairs. There's no flat surface on stairs in which to put both of your shoulder blades.
Yes,
By definition, you cannot be pinned on fucking stairs,
your
you morons.
Head will get in the way.
Goddamn idiots.
That's not the part I'm referring to.
This whole match was just a booking clusterfuck of disaster.
But while Sting was pinning Jarrett, outside, Hardy teased jumping off a ladder on the stage, threw AJ through a table on the floor, which would have been suicidal, frankly. And he didn't get to, because before he climbed the ladder, Sting pinned Jarrett, and so the match was over, and so the referee took it upon himself to protect AJ from further damage. Pulled him out of the way. That part I liked. But because...
Wait, you liked how when the bell rang, it was no longer anything goes and men must be protected?
Pretend this is not TNA for a second.
From bell to bell, you could be killed. But my God, yes. Once that bell rings,
sure. Save
the men's lives.
Sure. But, yes, yeah, so meanwhile, Sting was pinning Jarrett on stairs in the back, so Jeff Hardy couldn't even really see them. They couldn't see Jeff. They didn't know what time was going on. It did not work.
Lame.
We had Jesse Neal asking Team 3D for their blessing to wrestle with Matt Morgan against them. They joked about it at first, but they decided they liked his gumption. They told him to go for it, and then they said they had to go take care of that other thing.
His gumption.
They did not use that exact word.
Okay.
We had a Pope promo. He had a diamond-studded eye patch and a sling. Still looking great. He vowed revenge on AJ, promised an eye for an eye. I cannot do this promo justice. It was fucking fantastic. And then he was done. And then Mr. Anderson came out.
Mm.
time stopped.
This guy just interviews sucks.
Yeah, even before the chicken noises, even before that, he was rambling on, calling the fans rubes or whatever, and even the Pope told him to get to the goddamn point.
You know, even Cena's promo, there was some stuff that I could find to like about it. He had a couple of jokes that were kind of funny. Mr. Anderson's promo was such turn the channel heat.
There's nothing good about it.
Such, I quit Impact forever because of you, heat.
Even I at least laughed when Cena pulled his cell phone out of his shorts and said, that's why I wrestle in jean shorts. That one line was funny. There was nothing that funny here in this Ken Anderson promo. So eventually, Pope slapped him with his good hand, and Anderson attacked him, went for the eye, and the refs pulled him off. So apparently they're going to wrestle a sacrifice. Anderson did challenge him, and Pope slapped him, so I guess that's a yes. We had Team 3D versus Jesse Neal and Matt Morgan. Team 3D prepared for their tag team title match by murdering Sean Waltman.
Yeah.
They cut to the back. Waltman was on cement through a table in a pool of blood.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So
then we got the stupidest match of all time. I hate this match even more today.
You're not calmed down?
Jesse Neal, first off, if you took Matt Morgan and you had him do this exact same gimmick, he would be a babyface.
You would think.
He's a man defending the titles all by himself.
Yes.
He outsmarts everyone.
Yes.
He's a one-man wrecking crew.
Right.
In TNA, he's the heel.
Right.
So then they put in Jesse Neal with him. A goddamn idiot. Team 3D even told him, did you not see what happened to Red last
they
week?
They warned him about exactly what happened.
Jesse Neal's then explaining, I want to go out there and become the tag team champions. And they're like, well, how are you going to do that? And he said, by beating you. So my question is, so if he beat Team 3D, he would officially become the tag team champions?
I suppose.
Well, where's Hernandez? What is going on here?
Hernandez is
this
apparently dead.
This makes no sense. So, Jesse Neal goes in there. Of course, Hernandez or Morgan fucking turns on him. Morgan beats the crap out of him. They go to commercial. They come back. Jesse is screaming at Morgan, saying he wants more. Matt Morgan gets threatened by Hulk Hogan, goes back to the ring. Jesse Neal attacks him. Matt Morgan beats him up again.
Yes.
Lays him out again.
Right.
What a fucking goofball that Jesse Neal looked like on this show.
Yes.
Because these people don't know what they're doing. There is such... This is like, no matter how good the shows are, with rare, rare exceptions, they have absolutely no idea what is a good guy and what is a bad guy. This is like the first stories ever put on stone tablets did this right. Okay? This is not something new. This is not a mystery. What constitutes a hero and what constitutes a villain? These fucking people can't figure it out. How can you not figure this out? If you've ever read a book, if you've ever read in your life a single novel, if you've ever watched a single fucking movie, this is not rocket science. This is not even arithmetic. This is the most basic story in the history of man. Genesis! This is all the way back to the fucking beginning. It's not hard to figure out. God, these people are stupid. Every fucking show, there's got to be the heels overcoming the odds. There's got to be the babyface made to look like an imbecile. Every fucking show. Stop that. You wonder why people think your fucking show's so stupid. All right, go on.
So after Morgan lead, Jesse Neal out, who should make the save but Shannon Moore? And he came out, sent Morgan packing. The two Mohawked men stood up, congratulated each other, made funny faces and hand gestures. The crowd chanted Mohawk.
Why would these guys even be a team?
They have the same haircut.
Okay, but at least Shannon Moore was smart enough to realize Matt Morgan's going to fucking turn on me.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, he didn't even fall for it. Jesse Neal's too goddamn stupid.
Right.
What do these guys have in common? Certainly not IQ.
The haircut.
God, annoyed me.
Someone looked around and said, hey, we have two Mohawk guys. Let's put them together. So, did we even mention the Hall and Nash ran out and they had a brawl?
And by the way, does this mean that Jesse Neal and Shannon Moore are going to be challenging Matt Morgan in a handicap match?
God, I hope so.
Again, you fucking morons. Orlando Jordan did his promo where he never mentioned his name a single fucking time. This second hour of this show, I hated with a passion. And the more I look at it, the more I hate it. Stupid
stuff. You also skipped over Bischoff announcing his new ranking system.
Oh, yeah. Revolutionary.
Which I was eagerly awaiting with bated breath. It's a fan poll.
Yeah.
That's been the long and the short of it. He encouraged us to go on the website and vote early and vote often, and it would be a fan poll.
You vote, and then Dixie, Hogan, and Bischoff will take your vote into consideration when deciding who the number one contender is.
So then...
Isn't it about who wins?
You know.
Well,
in UFC, Anderson Silva wins all the time, but if he was not champion, he would never get a title shot. It's about who entertains the fans the most.
It's just lame.
I don't know. So Lethal came in at the end of this. He started rattling off his top 10, which included a bunch of 1980s names, including, of all people on this night, the Hart Foundation.
Yeah, and then they immediately cut away.
Yes. On the night the Harts won the tag titles. Oh, so we got the weird Ric Flair segment. I understand Dave hated this. Didn't they start doing a whole show that was basically segments like this? Like the start, went right before Impact?
They had it one time, it got a bad rating, and they canceled it.
Yeah, apparently they just had all the footage left over and just stuck it here on Impact. Because that appeared to be what this is, so...
Well, they couldn't have done that because these were all new interviews.
I see.
They're just filming it in a different way.
Well, it failed. So, it was Ric Flair speaking very quietly. He was not being the nature boy. He was speaking what I guess is a normal voice, and thank God they had subtitles. Because he mumbles a lot. And he looked very old. Scarred, beaten, broken, and as we would find out later, it looked like anything would make him start bleeding again. And then he talked about Steve Austin.
And getting his Hall of Fame ring in front of 16,000 people.
Yes. So, yeah, I would not have put this on my show. I don't think it helped. We had a Hall and Nash promo. They were angry and defiant about their little buddy being taken out by the... Their little buddy was taken out 2-on-1 by Team 3D, and they vowed revenge.
Yeah.
How are they not babyfaces?
Because these people are idiots.
Nash, in particular, came off... He had such great babyface fire here.
Yes.
Hall was trying to calm him down, trying to be... He spoke to the cameraman, said, I'm the nice guy. And Nash promised they would get a third man and would come back for revenge.
Has Dixie never read a book? Say what you will about Dixie, but has she never watched, like, a soap opera? Guaranteed she has. Guaranteed she's watched Titanic, okay? Guaranteed she's watched a movie. You can't watch this and figure out that it's ass backwards. Jesus Christ, it pisses me off.
Yes, so to review, their little buddy got taken out 2-on-1, and so now they are bringing in a superhero to save the day. That was the point of this promo.
So the odds will be even, because right now they're uneven.
I guess. I don't know. I can't keep track anymore. So we had Ric Flair versus Abyss. As I noted, Ric Flair's skin was ready to be cut open at a moment's notice, and it did. I don't think he gigged. I think it's just... Wasn't this taped 2 days after the pay-per-view?
Yeah.
So he did a massive blade job there, so it had not healed yet. That's why he's bleeding on all the shows, everyone. It's because they were filmed in 24 or 48 hours or whatever. There was less heat for this match than for anything else in the show. It was not very good. Abyss no-sold Brass Nux. Nobody even cared about that, so Flair punched him in the dick with a brass knucks, and he won. Only the ref caught him with a knucks, restarted it, and Abyss hulked up and won with a black hole slam. This was no good.
It sucked.
It did.
It was all right.
That was the end of Impact.
For Ric Flair being 61 and in a match with Abyss, it was fine.
I suppose, but...
But yeah, 0.5, everybody. Mm-hmm. And Vinny's about to do his dance here, but we are going to do shout-outs first. We're very, very long into the show. I've got to catch a flight early in the morning. I'm not going to do the whole plug. If you like the show, sign up and get more, and I'll read these shout-outs and tell you why. And by the way, if you sign up, you do get a free shout-out. Send them to brian@wrestlingobserver.com. Make sure you put shout-out in the subject line. And we'll read them. Let's give you an example right here. This is from Frank. Brian, I want to say I'm sorry your Facebook account was compromised. I heard what happened on the Observer Radio update on Sunday. Hope you get it back soon. Been a subscriber for a few years. People know from the board. Wait a second. This is from March.
What the hell are you doing?
I don't know. What the hell? Let me try this again. Sorry, I was off by a month, everybody. Forgot what month it was. All right! This is from Stevie J. As the designated non-strip club event coordinator for the convention in May, wanted to send a reminder that we have an open seating group for Cirque du Soleil Friday night at Treasure Island. 12 board members and their families are already confirmed as going, including Brian, Doc G, Teddy Long, Junior Horseman, and too many fine people to list individually here. We've been offered a special discount to the size of our group, so if you'd like to join in the fun, email stevie.j@angrymarks.com or send a PM to Stevie J on the board to get all of the payment details. That's S-T-E-V-I-E, the letter J, stevie.j@angrymarks.com. We can add more people to our seating group all the way until Thursday, May 27th. So you have a whole month to check out reviews of Cirque and decide if you want to join our merry band. We'll meet at Ed at San Antonio's Hotel Suite after the F4W Steak Extravaganza and walk to Treasure Island from there. It's less than a mile away. Showtime is 9:30. Thanks for reading this, Brian. We'll see you all in Vegas. That's from Stevie and Lady J. It's going to be a fun time. I'm going to Cirque. It's going to be awesome. So if you want to go, stevie.j@angrymarks.com. You can get a discount. He'll tell you all about it. So check that out. This person says, never mind, I was tired. This is not a shout-out. Anyway, let's play a song here.
That was a disaster. Let's be honest. That was the worst shout-out segment ever.
Okay, Vinny, now's the time.
You're all set?
Let me do the sound here again so that everybody can hear it.
What sound? What are you doing?
Should I introduce this so everyone can see the studio at work here? Why don't you stand up and get ready?
I'll start my stretching.
All right. Now, we can't go too long because the file will be way too big. So,
I don't know how long you expect me to dance. I realize I'm off the mic.
And by the way, I hate to tell you this, freeloaders, but this is only for subscribers.
That makes me happy.
This is video that I am producing right here. I apologize for that, but it's just the way it's got to be done. All right. All right, here we are at the, you can kind of see the whole setup here. I have no idea what people can see. But we're about to watch Vinny do his wacky dance. So, Vinny, here we go. You loading up music?
It's playing.
I'm a Scotland. Look at this fucking fatty. Wow!
0.5!
I wish I could watch this live. Oh, Vinny. All right. That was your finest moment.
Woo!
Okay. I cannot wait to upload that fucker. All right, sit down. Let's do one last song here.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'm going to play one more song. This is actually what you should have danced to here. It's, should have danced to Landstorm's favorite song, which I'm going to, finish this show off with. Here we go.
You go through all the pain inside until your back has gone so fast. Yeah! It comes so fast. Yeah. Oh, so I don't want to really care.
Yeah, go up, thank you, thank you.
Your dance right now looks much better than this song.
10-inch
drum. Alrighty.
That's going to be out on the internet, and I'm never going to get laid again.
Well, What the hell can you do?
What can you do?
Oh, everybody. TNA, after all these years, is finally delivered. So I hope you're all happy. That'll be up on the website for subscribers by the time all of you hear this. I'm sure some of you fuckers have already watched it already. You should wait until the end of the show, but what can you do? So that is it from here, everybody. We'll talk to you again on Saturday night.
Adios.